Yes, indeed. What a glorious day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Wendell. If we're not in the Spirit now, I don't know what else we can do for them, Wendell.
We've been dead people.
I'm glad you all are with us today. I'm Pastor David Branson. If you're visiting with us today, welcome. We're glad you're with us and look forward to time of just sharing with you and to hopefully be your church family. If you're in the market for a new church, this is it. This could be it. Thank you very much. Just a few quick announcements today. What is today? Did y'all get in your mailbox this week a little pledge card from Lakeside? Does anyone not have them or forgot them or burnt them in the garbage barrel at home or backyard? Who needs one this morning? Okay, ushers, could you please see these hands and pass out the pledge cards? At the end of the service, you'll have an opportunity to come forward, place them in the basket as well. Now let me ask you this, how many of you have increased your talent in the last 2 weeks? Okay, that money will be brought forward at the same time and placed in the basket. That's just a love offering that will be going to Grandma's Place, the foster care center that takes in children of need. So that money will be going to them, and that's great. I'll be looking forward to giving you an update on how we've done with that as well. But I hope you've been able to increase that. That was an experiment in listening for one. You feel like you listened pretty good?
Yeah.
And then an experience of what it means to take what God has given you and take it out into the world and increase it. Now you all, I've heard some unique, and I'll probably have a couple of you give us your ideas of how you've increased your talent this week. I've heard a lot of different things and some unique things as well. So I'll probably call on a couple of you so have a good answer for me as to how you've increased your talent with the dollar that I gave you for seed money. Now, did anyone else receive anything in their bulletin today? What did you all get? 20 bucks, Marty got 20. Who else got a $20 bill in their envelope? How many have looked at your bulletin today? What am I going to do with you people? Who got a $20 bill in their bulletin? I need to make sure they're all accounted for. Okay, Catherine. See, I thought I would pay you all a dollar to get you to come to church. And that would be mediocre. So now I'm paying some of you $20. Come on now. There's five $20 bills. You got one? Where else? That's three.
Marty's got one.
Gary's got one. It's four. There should be one more.
We got Marty's.
Marty, Gary. Three. Four. Is there one more? I didn't get one, no. Ken, look at the remaining bulletins back there. There should be one more $20 bill floating around. So I don't know about you guys, but you know where my seed money went?
Groceries.
I put $300 back into this congregation.
Awesome. Thank you.
I don't know if you want to. But what I want to do is, that's how I felt God called me. Okay. I can't believe one bulletin didn't get passed out.
So,
Charles, yeah, that's five. Okay. Now what you're going to do now is, you five folks, what do you think I'm going to have you do? Now we're getting nervous. Look at them. They're handing your bulletin to some other person next to them. Well, it could be breakfast. Because this is now an experiment on how you can come up with a way to bless someone else. Here's what I want you to do with that $20. In the next week, I want you to spend that $20 on someone else that you do not know. Take them to breakfast, if that's the way it is. Whatever it is, we have a blanket ministry. Claire Shore buys blankets and hands them out to homeless people during the week. You know, when we have cold snaps, There's a lot of different things you can do with that $20 bill. And since you've now gotten that $20 bill, I'm going to ask you next week, next Sunday, so you have to come to church next Sunday. And if you don't come to church next Sunday, you owe me $50. And I will do something with that money. I'm going to practice. So that's your assignment, you five folks. Yes, so someone else is going to take charge of that. Robin is going to take care of that. I'm going to be on a men's retreat next Sunday. But I don't want you to take more than a week because your folks' memories are short. You won't remember what this was all about if you really more than a few weeks. So, Robin, next Sunday, you're going to be in charge of asking these five folks, how did they give?
Pass it out
because
he's not
going to
be here.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay, Linda, now you've been given the $20 bill. I know she'll find a good use for it because you do a lot of ministry, so that's awesome. So that's what that's all about. Now, instead of increasing the money that you have, now you get to give money away. Now you're asking, why didn't you give all of us a $20 bill? I couldn't give all of you a $20 bill. Sorry. But I want you to give that $20 bill away and come back next Sunday and tell us how you bless someone else, okay? So we're going to have five short stories next week, Robin. They don't get the whole hour. So they'll get a minute to say how they bless someone else with that $20 bill. You come up with your own ideas. So there's a lot of ways you can bless someone with $20. So that's your assignment for next week. Did I say connect cards? Fill out your connect cards. Fill out your connect cards, drop them in the offering plate as it comes around today as well. Do not put your pledge cards in the offering plate. Do not put your seed money, your talent money in the offering plate. That will be brought forward after the message today. Anyone not hear what I said? I need to repeat it. Do not put those two items in the offering plate. Thank you very much. The United Methodist Women have a group of women going on a women's retreat this weekend. We're praying for them. They'll be returning today, so it's good that they've had a time to be away. I saw some Facebook postings that they're having a great time up there as well. This Thursday, some of us will be leaving Thursday to go up to the Rainbow River for our men's retreat. The van will be leaving Friday morning. Kenny Jarvis. Kenny didn't show up, did he? Okay, Kenny is our driver. He just doesn't show up yet. Kenny will be driving the van, and they haven't been able to get a hold of him, but he's going, and he signed up to be a driver last year, and he's a driver registered through the church, so we'll have a van next week, and the van will leave. Ken, we need to get this information out to the men that are going before next Thursday, so however we need to communicate that to you, but the van will be leaving here. I'm going to call it 9 a.m. on Thursday morning. Be here by 9 a.m.
Friday.
Picked up?
Friday morning.
Thursday. Friday morning. Sorry. Don't make it Thursday. Friday morning at 9 a.m. Be here to catch a ride with the van. If you don't catch that ride, we'll see you on Sunday when we get back. Unless you can drive yourself up there. So a reminder of that. One last reminder, our Bible study. We started it last week. It's a good study on revival. The Wesleyan theology and how we can live that out today as well. It's very good. So come out and join us. I still have some books available. So come out and join us for a Bible study Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock in the fellowship. I'm getting hoarse already, so let's get moving. You ready? Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Thank you. join me in the call to worship. Christ is our light, our way in the dark. Christ calls us here to worship and to pray. Christ leads us forth to teach and to heal. Please join us in this morning's opening hymn, number 133, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Oh,
You're getting big. Stand up, let me see. Okay, let's get busy. Do you like to fish? You like to fish? What have you caught? What's the biggest fish you ever caught? Have you caught big fish? Dad's caught big fish? What are you thinking? Wow. Hi, Miss Aubrey. Do you like to fish? Have you ever been fishing? Good luck. Okay, I want to ask you, if we fish, can we catch people? Huh? You ever caught people when you went fishing? You know, one time I had an uncle that went fishing with his brother-in-law, and they were in the boat fishing, and he reared back and threw his line out with a big old minnow on the line. And guess what happened? Hooked him in the nose. And this little minnow was flopping around on the end of his nose. Do you believe that story?
No.
That's a true story.
Yeah, well, you're from
so the his brother-in-law caught a fisher. He would call a man. Or fishers of men. Now, let me ask you this. You know the story? Have you heard the Bible story of Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee? And he came across two brothers. You remember their name? Peter and Andrew, Simon Peter and Andrew, they were fishing. They were fishermen. They did that to make a living. And Jesus came by and said, hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You know what they did? You remember the story. What did they do? You remember? They dropped their nets, they put their nets down, and they just took off after Jesus. And they never went back to fishing full time. Well, later on, after Jesus was put on the cross, they thought they had to go back fishing, but Jesus quickly came and told them, that's not what I want you to do. So you know what? They might not have been very good fishermen, might they? But they were great fishers of people. So Jesus told them, I want you to follow me and we're going to change people's lives. Do you feel like here at Lakeside we have the opportunity to change lives? Are we fishers of people?
Amen.
So if we're changing lives, we are just like Simon, Peter, and Andrew, right? We're just like them. We have the same orders from Jesus that they got when Jesus walked by and said, follow me. So as we commit ourselves today, how many of you have looked at my sermon title today? What's it say? What's the message title today? Some of us are closer to being committed than others. Today we're going to make a promise to God that we are committed, just like Peter and Andrew did. We are committed to the ministry of Jesus. And that's what this is all about today. Because we're going to bring our pledge cards and some money up here and drop it in that basket. And we're telling God, we're all in. We're not just involved in what's going on in church. We are committed. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Because we can change lives. Believe it or not, we can change lives, just like Simon Peter and Andrew. Let's pray. Can we pray? Can you put your prayer hands together on me? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for these beautiful spirits you placed within these young ladies. Father, we thank you for our commitment and theirs as well as they learn from us what it means to be committed to a life in Christ. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, good deal. I think there's Sunday school as well, so Aubrey has our Sunday school. Thanks for coming up. That's awesome. Aubrey, about a year or two ago.
Yep. Praise the Lord.
She doesn't talk to me. That big guy put water on me, and I don't like him anymore. She's certainly a beautiful little girl. Our sister, on the other hand, she was too young to be traumatized by the water, so she was. It's a time in our service when we take our requests before the Lord and our praises and prayers this morning. I'm sure you brought some with you that maybe have gone unsaid, but know that God hears your prayers and that He's here for you. So hear these requests this morning of folks that have been asked to be lifted up in prayer. Karen and Davis Tyler continue to recover from their surgeries that they had. Karen is on a slow recovery, and she had a doctor's appointment, and they're probably going to have to change her chemotherapy, so a little bit of concern with that as well. But just keep the Snyders and Devin as well in your prayers. Audrey, it's so good to see you. We continue to lift you up in prayer, and with your son and mother, it's nice to have them here as well. The Molmans, Tom Molman as well, we continue to pray for Tom with Parkinson's, and Chuck and Sharon have lifted up their daughter Beth as well with health concerns, and their granddaughter Carissa as well this week. Max Moretz, Max, good to see you back with us today. Max is having some eye things going on, so we continue to lift you up, Max, and as well. Rebecca Rossman, we announced last week that she is pregnant. That's Teresa Wilhelm's daughter. Just a healthy pregnancy for her as well. The Collins are lifting up Joe Flena. He's under hospice care. So keep the Flena family in your prayers this week as well and beyond. Charles Tripp as well, lifted up by the Collins, who's on life support. So continue to pray for him, for healing, and for his family as well. Stan Hanna as well continues to have health issues. Mary's always lifting Stan up as well. And her daughter Liz is flying in on Wednesday, so safe travel mercies for Liz. Tammy Malden as well, we continue to lift Tammy up for health concerns. Nancy Colleen, who is at JFK, they're friends of Lila and Gary's. Catriona. Her family issues, and we continue to pray for her and her health as well. Louis Brennerstall is not doing well. It's Mary Lou's husband, and Mary Lou has had shoulder surgery, so her healing as well. So George and Mary Lou this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Gracious and healing God, Father, we are hopeless and helpless without you. Father, today as we lift up these names mentioned here, for whatever calamity has befallen our family and friends and loved ones, Father, we pray for healing in all aspects of our lives. Father, where our bodies have become weakened and aged, Father, I pray your healing touch upon each one of us. Father, we're grateful that you will listen to us, that you will act accordingly. And Father, we're just grateful this morning that you have us all on a path of redemption, of renewal, a path that you alone can reclaim us. Father, today we have an opportunity to turn back to you what has been so graciously poured out upon us. Father, today I pray for each one of these souls sitting in this congregation and the commitment that they have chosen to make to you and your church. Father, as we're about to speak about, involvement and commitment are two different things. Father, I pray today that our commitment to your church here at Lakeside is one that will help us to prosper in ministry and mission to the world. Father, today we're giving a part of ourselves. We're giving it up freely to you. Father, we love you. We ask your blessing upon our offerings today. And we ask a blessing upon each one of us and how we are committed to a life in Christ. For that we are grateful. But Father, with the joy and gratefulness that's in our heart today, We still live in a hurting and divided world. Father, my prayer today is that as a new government has taken its place, that we can count on you to change what needs to be changed and unite us as a country and as a nation. Father, we are grateful for people that will lead. And Father, we are grateful that you will lead them. Father, my prayer today is that they, each one, in a power of authority from the local level right up to the White House, Father, that they would seek your face in making decisions that affect our country. So, Father, we're going to trust you once again that you are in the midst of all that takes place. Father, our world is hurting outside of our country. Things are turned upside down, it seems. Father, I pray that you would have us be a nation that does good in the world, that can bring about reconciliation, that can bring about peace in the world. Father, that can only happen through you. And for that, we acknowledge you today. So, Father, as we gather here today, we pray for all of those that we love and care about, cherish and nourish. Father, we pray that we would be blessed as a people of God. So, Father, today, we're fully committing our church to you and the souls of these people that so freely give of themselves. And for that, we are eternally grateful. So, Father, be with us in our prayer now as we pray together. Our Father,
thank you.
you, Mo, for your beautiful words and your song this morning. Thank you for using your gifts. Folks, it is about our heart and where our heart is. This is the final Sunday of our pledge campaign, our stewardship campaign. I hope you've taken these past 3 weeks to sort of see where God is leading you and how you will be a part of this church and ministry that goes on here. So today we're going to go and visit Acts 18, verses 18 through 28. The context of where Paul is coming from, Paul's getting ready to travel. We're going to look at examples of ministry and how being committed or involved we want to be. We're involved in a lot of things. But involvement means we come and go. Commitment means you're in it for the long haul. So that's what a pause in our scripture this morning is. Please stand if you're able as I read from chapter 18 in Acts, verses 18 through 28. After Paul stayed in Corinth for some time, he said goodbye to the brothers and sisters. At the Corinthian seaport of Kinche, he had his head shaved since he had made a solemn promise. Now, I'm not going to shave my head. Then, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila, he sailed away to Syria. After they arrived in Ephesus, he left Priscilla and Aquila and entered the synagogue and interacted with the Jews. They asked him to stay longer, but he declined. As he said farewell to them, though, he added, God willing, I will return. Then he sailed off from Ephesus. He arrived in Caesarea, went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After some time there, he left and traveled from place to place in the region of Galatia and the district of Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a certain Jew named Apollos arrived in Ephesus. He was a native of Alexandria and was well educated and effective in his use of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord and spoke as one stirred up by the Spirit. He taught accurately the things about Jesus, even though he was aware only of the baptism John proclaimed and practiced. He began speaking with confidence in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they received him into their circle of friends and explained to him God's way more accurately. When he wanted to travel to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples so they would open their homes to him. Once he arrived, he was of great help to those who had come to believe through grace. He would vigorously defeat Jewish arguments and public debate using the scriptures to prove that Jesus was the Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, let us use this example of Apollos to help strengthen our courage for the journey you've called each of us to as Christians. Father, I pray that we would be blessed by these words and that the meditations of my heart would bless you in return. It's in your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Going to do a little wordplay with you this morning. What's the difference between involvement and commitment? I looked it up. Involvement means to include as a condition, to engage or employ to include. Commitment, to give in trust, to pledge oneself to a position to bind or obligate. That seems a little more serious, doesn't it? You all are probably involved in a lot of things, right? Involvement is pretty easy, really. We can see something that looks like fun or maybe could help someone. I'll become involved in that for a period of time. The reason I read from Acts 18 today was because Apollos thought, I'm going to get involved in this little church around the corner. And I'm going to travel and go to where Paul had been. And Apollos became committed to Christ, right? That's what they're telling us here. He became committed. Involvement is partial, commitment is total. Are we totally committed to the cause of Christ? Or are we lukewarm Christians? Our Bible study this past Wednesday, we read scripture that reminded us that God does not like lukewarm Christians. He likes people on fire, hot fire. Or if you're just going to be cold towards Him, He knows where He stands. It's lukewarm Christians that God wants us to examine within ourselves. Are we lukewarm? Or are we 100% committed? Now, you've heard me use this little analogy before, but picture a plate of bacon and eggs. I love bacon and eggs. I love them. What was the chicken's part in that breakfast? The chicken was involved in our breakfast. Now the good old pig, what was his part in our breakfast? The pig was somewhat committed to the process of breakfast. Are we involved or are we committed? I love that little story. It's really how we face what God has called us to be. If you play sports, involvement, you might lose, right? If you're fully committed to winning, the chances of winning are a lot better, aren't they? In war, if we're just involved in a war, it can lead to loss, can it? You can lose that war. If you're fully committed, all in, your chances of success are so much greater. In marriage, involvement allows us room to back out, doesn't it? I think a lot of marriages are going into with that mindset. If this doesn't work out, we'll just go our separate ways. But in marriage, when commitment is involved, there's a lot more effort put into the cause. Are you involved in your job when you work, or were you committed to your job? I worked for the same company for 30 years. There was times I just wanted to marginally be involved. And then there was times I was committed to getting the job done right. As my faith grew and strengthened, my job commitment became greater. I thought, that's kind of cool. I wonder why I'm thinking this way now. God changed my heart. Would you be comfortable if you read in the scripture that God says, I just want to be involved with you? Or do we want to read scripture and know that God is committed to us? God gave His Son. That's some commitment. 2 Timothy 2:13. I have some scriptures I want to bounce around today. If we are disloyal, He stays faithful because He can't be anything else than what He is. God is loyal to us. He's faithful to us. Even if we're disloyal, it says here. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the plan and your plans will succeed. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will succeed. That's what I said about my job. When I was committed to Christ, my job got a lot easier. My joy in working got a lot better. That could only come from God. And that's the difference between our involvement and our commitment is our relationship with God. Do you believe that or is that a lie? Does our involvement and commitment is based on our relationship with God? Give me some history. The choir work with me. Give me some yeses. If we're committed to God, our commitments become easier. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Absolutely. The scripture I read out of Acts was about Apollos. I want to read from 1 Corinthians 3:6. This is Paul speaking. I planted, Apollos watered, and God made it grow. We all have the same job in the kingdom. Absolutely not. That's what that $20 bill is about that I gave out. You've got five opportunities to reach someone in a different way. So that's the challenge for the five people that receive that $20 bill. Our scripture today, verse 24 through 26, said, our commitment requires the Word of God. I challenge you, not every week, but I challenge you to read your Bible. Get involved in our Bible study. We look at the Bible. Read some scripture. Talk about, in this particular study, about revival. What can we do to regenerate our church? Let me ask you, because this has been my observation, I want to see your reaction. How do you think churches in general are doing today? Huh? How are they doing? Not too good, are they? A couple of weeks ago, we met with our congregational vitality team, it's called now. There's 23 churches in our district of 58 churches that really are on the verge of being closed. There's about, I didn't get the exact number, I'm guessing here, probably about 25 that are either just functioning, not just functioning, because you know what? Functioning in our world today, hey, that's pretty good. We're still able to go. Lakeside falls into the functioning category, and healthy is the top quadrant. And we're right on the line of healthy, so we're pretty good. You think that's a big enough basket? We'll get a bigger one. What can we put it in? And Bo's right. It's not about the money that will go in that basket. That's not the point of this exercise. The point of this exercise, and you know what's sort of sad, and I don't know where I stand on this, but a lot of churches don't do what we're doing today because people don't want to make that kind of commitment. This is a pretty nice church, but you know what? That's a pretty nice church down the street there. Next week, we'll go see how they do church. And the week after, we'll go see another church. That's okay when you're looking for a church. You've got to find a church. You've got to become involved in the mission and ministry of the church. You all have chosen for this Sunday to come here. Thank goodness. I'm glad you all are here. But I couldn't be your pastor if I stood up here and said, boy, we're doing so good. Man, are we doing good? If you just work a little harder, we're going to fall over in the healthy quadrant, and then everything will be great. The DS will call me and say, man, you got to really tear it up. I stand up here once in a while and talk about my disappointment because I think, gosh, there's so much that needs to be done. What more can we do? What can we do? I tell leadership council, here's a couple ideas. Give me some bodies. I need bodies. None of us can do this alone. We read and study the Word of God, and study the Word of God tells us to get involved. Well, what can I do? You can do plenty. You can do plenty. That's what these money exercises was about. Your talents. Take that dollar and increase it. Talent being a play on words, you have talents. God's given you gifts. Talent was a form of money. When the master left, he gave three servants money. I was tricking you up by giving you a dollar, because the one that got the dollar from the servant, when the master came back, just gave him his dollar back. It doesn't matter how much. Oh, I should have said that as a pastor. It doesn't matter how much you put in there, does it, Rob? Yes, it does. That's our conundrum that we find ourselves in. You hear the air conditioner laboring back there. Do you hear the air conditioner laboring? We're in the process of putting a new air conditioning unit in. One of four. There's four air conditioning units in this building. And we're probably going to get it hooked up this week. I hope finalized. It's all been installed. It's being hooked up. The guy that put it in is a nice guy. But he didn't come by the church and said, "Hey, you look like nice people. I'll put this, I don't know what we're going to have in the job, several $1,000s before we're done." He didn't come by and say, "You look like nice people. I think I'll put in a new air conditioner for you," because he's got to feed his family and run his company. So that's how we're in this together. How many of you like to be cool in church? We didn't have air conditioning. We'd be out in the yard out there having church. But anyway, I'm just using that as an example of what it costs to do ministry. You know that. I'm not telling you things you don't know. What that allows us to do to have air conditioning in this building, we can invite people to come into this building and be exposed to the love of God through us. Is that a good thing? We don't necessarily have to be cool while we do it. But you know what? We still need to do it. Those unchurched people out there, you know, part of our Bible study was John Wesley. You know who he preached to? After he got in trouble with the Anglican Church, he was for his whole life he was an Anglican priest. But he got in a little trouble with the church, and they told him he can't come in here and preach anymore. What did he do? He went out and preached to the unchurched. He went to the coal mines. He went to people that had no clue what this God thing was about. As Methodists, we're still called to do that. Believe it or not, there's people in our neighborhood around here that are unchurched and probably have no relationship with Christ. As a Methodist church, we've got work to do right here in our own neighborhood.
Amen.
So that's what we're here for. I love doing that kind of work, but I need your help. We need a monetary commitment, but we need your heart. Like I started out with, and Baldwin is just saying, I'll be a part of that. That's why, if you noticed, I quit calling you all volunteers. I had this conversation with a guy one time where a bunch of us volunteered, and when we got tired and cranky, I said, "We're going home." He said, "You can't go home. There's more dishes to wash." I said, "That's why they call them volunteering. I'm not volunteering right now. I'm going home." Now, if I would have been committed to serving Christ, and I would have said, "My hands are wrinkled. I'm tired. I'm hot. I'm going home." See what I'm saying here? If I'm a servant, if I'm serving God, now when I say, "I'm tired of going home," now I'm telling God I'm tired of going home. Commitment and involvement. I don't like the term volunteer. There's nothing wrong with that. But volunteers can get up and leave. For a lot of times, not a very good reason. They hurt my feelings. They're not nice people. Someone put that thing over there, and I like it over there. So I'm going home. When you're a servant of God and you come to this church to serve, and someone places something in the wrong place, you don't leave, do you? Because you don't say, "I don't like that." You say to God, "God, I've changed my mind. I think I'm going home." See the difference between servant and volunteer? I don't want any of you to come here and volunteer for anything. That's done. That's an old word. Now you are servants. And here's where it's easy for me, because you know what? Now, if you don't want to do something, you take it up to God. He'll talk to you about it. I don't have to. That takes some of the pressure off of me. Because now that relationship is between you and God. And what you're willing to do. Using your gifts and talent. This pledge campaign is not all about money. It's about using your gifts, your talents, the things God's given you that make you unique. Some of you are very, very unique. Right, Bill? Some of us are very, very unique, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yes. Lord, I had it. Ah, you should be here quick. Well, folks, that's my message for you today. Christ set this example of involvement. Isn't it amazing how these stories tie together? My children's message today was about Jesus walking around the lake. I walked there, by the way. Around the Sea of Galilee, and some of us did. Jesus walked upon Simon Peter and Andrew and said, "Hey, I'll put those men to follow me." The amazing part is they did. They did. And God honored them for that. So if you brought a net with you today, put it down. You don't need it anymore. Anyone bring a net? Where's the net? Is the net here today? Y'all got it. You like my humor or not, should I? It's not very good, I know. That's all I got. Folks, bring this together is my message today. The more we're in it together, the better off we're going to be. We're going to take some time now to do just what I asked you to do earlier during the announcements. Wendell, I didn't actually ask you about this, but could you play some music maybe for a few minutes just to let us have a spirit of reflection? 3 weeks ago, I asked you to prayerfully consider how God would use you to impact the world through this church. So as you feel led, come forward. Put your pledge card in there. I know some of you have mailed them. Some of you have brought them up already this morning. If for some reason, and the people that are not here today, we will have an opportunity next Saturday, Sunday as well. We'll have a basket here, and we will talk about bringing it forward next week as well. And your seed money that I gave you. I want to hear just a couple of things that people did to increase their talent, their seed money. Somebody share with me.
Joyce made stuffed bears.
Joyce made, she is a great crafter, Joyce. She's in the back now going over to help prepare the food. Joyce made little stuffed bears that she sold. She is good at that kind of stuff. Who else? Annie?
Peanut brittle.
Peanut brittle. I had some peanut brittle, but I didn't pay you for it. You gave me mine for free.
Yeah.
The freeloader got some for free. Played pinochle for money? So you gamble with your pinochle? Somebody else.
Robin,
what'd you do? You know what Robin did? She went home and asked Mike, her husband, "What's my talent? I don't know. What do I have that I'm good at?" Mike said, "You are enthusiastic and just filled with the Spirit when you're raising money for something you really care about." That's what he said, right? So you know what she did? You know, she walks, does a crosswalk, she does a lot of things where she fundraises, and she's pretty good at fundraising. So what she did, that circle of people she knew, she sent an email to, or Facebook, or however it is she contacted them, and people gave her money. So you know what? That's why I'm asking, because all you have to do is ask, and people give you money. Yes, ma'am.
I played bingo with it. And I won 4 games, and I won the cover all, and I had $50.
$50? Beverly made some really... Is Beverly not here? Beverly made brownies. I did buy some of her brownies. Sorry, Amy, I bought brownies. You know, this wasn't an experiment in how much money you could make. It was an experiment in recognizing what you can do. You all can do something. That's what this was all about. It cost me $1 for each one of you. So that was my increase, because you know what? I know that we're going to get a lot more back than what I invested. I have a good talent in motivating. Do I have a good talent in motivating people?
Yes.
Getting involved? Or is it about the guilt trip? That dang pastor made me feel guilty today. No, I didn't. God did. If you're feeling guilty, God did that, not me. So Wendell, if you'll play for a minute, come forward. The basket is here. I invite you to come forward with your increase in talent and your pledge card. Did everyone get a pledge card or would like to bring one up today? Okay, the altar is open. And I would encourage you as well to spend a minute here thanking God for you to have the ability to help others. So come forward as you feel ready. Folks, we've been given a blessing this morning.
Amen.
We've been given an opportunity to share in the kingdom work that God called even His Son Jesus. We've been called to the same work, so it's worthwhile work. I call it work. It's more a way of life. It's a love and commitment to Jesus. Jesus gave it all for us. I pray this morning that we can make that commitment to God and stand behind Him. Stand behind Him. Let's stand for our closing hymn, "O Jesus, I Have Promised," in 396 in the hymn.
Amen. Oh, that's right.
I said, almost knocked your camera over.
Yeah.